Amen. Please turn to Revelation chapter 12. We will be looking at Revelation, part of Revelation chapter 12 and part of Daniel chapter 11. Last time we were together, we looked at the first six verses of Revelation chapter 12 and observed the setup for what we're going to be talking about tonight. Two remarkable events that lead up to the midpoint of the tribulation period. The Bible clearly identifies the midpoint of the tribulation period with the event of the abomination of desolation. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27 says, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week." That word midst means right smack in the middle. Midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. The verse goes on to say that even until the consummation and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. The latter part of this verse tells us that while causing the sacrifice to stop in the temple and the committing of the abomination of desolation takes place right at the midpoint of the tribulation period, the effects of this will continue through the tribulation period. So we have two remarkable events that are going to lead us up to the midpoint of the tribulation period. And the first of these remarkable events, let me back up just a moment and make a comment about this. One of these events takes place in heaven and involves Satan. The other of these events takes place on the earth and involves the Antichrist. It is significant that these events take place at the same time, and I want to demonstrate to you why I believe that to be so. So let's look at the first remarkable event involving Satan that leads up to the abomination of desolation. And we are here in Revelation chapter 12. But once again, Daniel clearly states that the abomination of desolation is committed at the midpoint of the 70th week of Daniel, in the midst of the week. It's very important for us to see that from Daniel, right in the midst of the week, half, middle, midpoint, right smack in the middle. Maybe we should look at Matthew chapter 24. And verse 15, and Jesus confirms for us that this event, the abomination of desolation that is talked about by Daniel the prophet, is the exact time when Israel flees to the wilderness. Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day." In other words, this is going to be an immediate flight. You don't have time to think about it. The abomination of desolation is going to be committed in the temple, and you've got to run for your life. It's just like that. Got to run for your life. So Daniel tells us that the abomination of desolation happens at the midpoint of the tribulation period. Jesus tells us that the Israelites will flee to the wilderness right exactly at the moment that the abomination of desolation takes place. So we come over to Revelation chapter 12, And in verse 6 it says, "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. By telling us in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 6 that this is the moment at which the Israelites flee to the wilderness, he's pointing us to the midpoint of the tribulation period. Because that's the time that Jesus said the Israelites are to flee to the wilderness. Now, that's a setup statement, which now we're going to begin at verse 7, and we're going to see the event related to this matter of Israel fleeing, this event that leads up to the committing of the abomination of desolation that causes Israel to flee to the wilderness. So, the remarkable event that takes place in outer space that leads up to the committing of the abomination of desolation involves a war between good and bad angels. Verse 7, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels." This is the real Star Wars, I guess you would say. This is the real deal. Angels fighting in outer space. Verse 9 identifies who the dragon is. Verse 9 says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world." So we know who the dragon is. The dragon is Satan. So this is Michael and his angels and Satan and his angels. We're told in verse 4 that Satan, the dragon, pulls one-third of the stars from heaven. That's where his angels came from. One-third of the angels in heaven followed Satan when Satan fell. Now, this is not the only war that has or ever will take place in the heavens between good angels and bad angels. If you will recall, we looked in Daniel chapter 10. Go back there once again, Daniel chapter 10. We see at least a skirmish in Daniel chapter 10, verse 11. "And he said unto me," this is an angel speaking to Daniel, "and he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. And the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. Now, I won't take the time now, but I think we have before justified the reference of princes of kingdoms as referring to angels. And that's who this is referring to. The bad angel that Satan assigned to the kingdom of Persia. Yes, Satan assigns angels to influence human governments. Maybe that explains a lot. So somehow this angel knows, this bad angel knows that this good angel has been sent by God to Daniel to give him some very important information. And this bad angel intercepts the good angel and prevents him for 3 weeks earth time. And it would be in the context of time, because in the universe you're dealing with time. Prevents him for 3 weeks of earth time from coming to Daniel. So what happens? Verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. Behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, and they have the rest of the conversation. Then drop down to, verse 20. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee, and now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. So Satan's bad angel assigned to Greece is watching this good angel talking to Daniel, and this is interesting that God knows everything that's going on, so he's able to tell the good angel, watch out, because this other bad angel is going to come and join the fight. And so he says, when I go back to help Michael, Michael's back there still holding off the prince, the bad angel assigned to Persia, and when I go back to help Michael, then there's another bad angel going to come. And so it's an interesting description of a fight, he uses the word fight, between good angels and bad angels. These are the only two records that we have of fights between good angels and bad angels. It's hard to tell how many have actually taken place. We just don't need to have that information, but it's highly probable that a lot more of these kinds of things have gone on than we realize and are aware of. So in Revelation chapter 12, we have this battle between Michael and his angels and Satan and his angels. And it says in verse 7, the latter part of the verse 7 of Revelation chapter 12, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. In this case, Satan and his angels are going to lose. We don't know that they ever actually did win, but this time, they're going to lose for sure. And there is a devastating result for Satan. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. The result of Satan losing this battle is that he is now confined to the earth. He's cast out of heaven and cast into the earth. Now, this is different from Satan's initial fall. Would you go to Ezekiel chapter 28, please? And verse 14. Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 14. It says in verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. That is, Satan is in the third heaven. He's right in the throne room of God. He has full access to God. He is the highest and noblest creature God ever created. But look in verse 16. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Verse 17, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of brightness. I will, future tense, cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Two separate events noted in this passage. Verse 16, he's cast out of the mountain of God, that is the third heaven, the throne room of God. Verse 17, he's cast to the ground. I believe that's referring to the two separate events. The first event, Satan's fall, he's cast out of the third heaven. The second event, at the midpoint of the tribulation period, he's cast into the earth. Now remember, when Satan was cast out of the mountain of God in his fall, he still had access to God. Job chapter 1, verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Now, whether that took place in the third heaven or not, I'm not fully convinced of that. Perhaps at the edge. But Satan still had the ability to roam the universe. He had access to God. He could talk to God. He was able to be present with these other angels. But go over to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9 again. And notice now it says, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. This is a second casting out. He was cast out of the mountain of God. Now he is cast out of all of the heavens, and he is cast into. That word into is crucial to understanding what it's talking about, into the earth. So that now Satan is confined to the earth. At the midpoint of the tribulation period is when this takes place. That's the context we are given in Revelation chapter 12. Now, following this prophecy regarding Satan being cast into the earth, there is a declaration made in heaven, beginning in verse 10, goes through verse 12. Here's the declaration. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. So, there is this declaration made in heaven. We're happy that finally the end is coming. Satan has just a short time. But those of you that are living on the earth, beware, because now Satan is right there. He's on the earth. He's going to be with you for the next 3.5 years. And he is mad. So the first remarkable event leading up to the midpoint of the tribulation period is the angelic war in heaven, in which Satan and his angels lose, and Satan is cast into the earth and confined to the earth. Now the second remarkable event that leads up to the midpoint of the tribulation period, it takes place on the earth and involves the Antichrist. And so I want you to go with me to Daniel chapter 8. First of all, Daniel chapter 8, verse 25. Remember that in the first half of the tribulation period, the Antichrist uses peace as his primary operating device or whatever. Daniel chapter 8, verse 25. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. It's interesting that he destroys people, but he does it by peace. Isn't that interesting? Daniel chapter 11 and verse 21. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Remember, there are 10 regional kings all over the world. He is not given the honor of being one of those kings. So he uses peaceful means to destroy the leadership of 3 of those regions, and he takes control by peace and flatteries. One of the devices he uses in verse 24 is spreading the wealth around. Verse 24, he shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches. Yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time. So he spreads the wealth around. We are seeing the foundation for that modus operandi, is that the term we want to use, being laid even today. Spread the wealth around. That's the idea, and that's how he will obtain power. Now, in the first half of the tribulation period, there will be one pocket of resistance. We looked at this before. There will be one pocket of resistance in Egypt, which is called the King of the South here in the first earlier part of Daniel chapter 11. And let's begin in verse 25, where it says, and he shall stir up his power and his courage against the King of the South with a great army. And the King of the South shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army. But he shall not stand, for they shall forecast devices against him. Yea, they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down slain. It looks like, to me, from the text, that the army of the Antichrist actually doesn't have to fight. He shows his strength, but it's people closest to the King of the South that actually work against him. And then here comes the peace again, verse 27. Both of these kings shall be to do mischief. Both of these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table. That's going on. You know, we can see the groundwork for that. But it shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be at the appointed time. Then he that is the Antichrist, then shall he return into his land and with great riches, and his heart shall be against the Holy Covenant, and he shall do exploits and return to his own land. Then we come to verse 29. At the appointed time. That's a crucial statement. At the appointed time. There is an appointed time for things to take place. At the appointed time, he, the Antichrist, shall return and come toward the south, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter. There will be a third battle between these two, and we'll talk about the third one later on. But it's not like the former. In other words, the Antichrist won the first battle, I think, without having to fight very much. But this time, he's not going to win. He's going to lose. Imagine the Antichrist losing a battle. Verse 30, for the ships of Chittim shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the Holy Covenant. So this is the midpoint of the tribulation period, because watch what happens. So shall he do, he shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the Holy Covenant. An arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. What happens at the midpoint of the tribulation period? Daily sacrifice is taken away, the abomination of desolation is committed. What is this event that takes place on the earth that leads up to the abomination of desolation? The Antichrist loses a battle on the earth. Now think about this. At this very moment, Satan and his angels, oh yeah, let's go to the next one. See if I get. We'll come back to these pictures. I wonder. We'll come back. There we go. At the very same moment that Satan is losing a battle in heaven, the Antichrist is losing a battle on the earth. There's this remarkable event in heaven in which there is this war between Michael and his angels and Satan and his angels. Satan loses, is cast into the earth. The Antichrist on the earth attacks Egypt. He loses the battle. In his anger, this time, instead of just passing through Israel and doing some exploits, he takes the nation, goes on to the Temple Mount, removes the daily sacrifice, and commits the abomination of desolation. Let me go back now and pick this up. Out of frustration, the Antichrist will turn his wrath toward Israel. At the appointed time, Daniel chapter 11 and verse 29 says, at the appointed time, verse 30, therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the Holy Covenant. This is the moment which the Israelites will flee. The Antichrist actually will be assisted by hard-hearted Israelites. Verse 30, second half of the verse, he shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the Holy Covenant. Israelites will actually assist the Antichrist. There will be unbelieving Israelites who will say, look, this man has made an agreement with us for 7 years. We have to keep this agreement. He can do whatever he wants. He's helping us rebuild our whole nation. He's protecting us from everybody else. Whatever he wants is okay with us. They don't care about the daily sacrifices. They don't care about the temple. They're not believers. And it says in verse 31, and arms shall stand on his part. That is Israelite people will take up arms against their own people and assist the Antichrist. It'll be a sad day. It is at this point that the Antichrist will commit the abomination that make it desolate. There are two parts to it. Next week, we're going to look at the abomination of desolation in detail. But there are two parts to it. One is that they take away the daily sacrifice. The other is this committing of the abomination of desolation, and I'll tell you exactly what that is next week. We'll look at it in detail. Here's the thing. Many attribute verse 31 to a historical event in the life of Antiochus Epiphanes. Here's why I do not agree with that. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate. Just 2 chapters later, it says in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 31, and they shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. The language is identical. Daniel chapter 9 tells us it is an event that takes place at the midpoint of the tribulation period. It makes absolutely no sense for that same language to be applied to an historical event that takes place before Christ ever comes, when it's clear from Daniel chapter 9 this exact language takes place in the midpoint of the tribulation period. I believe that this cannot possibly be referring to an historical event in the life of Antiochus Epiphanes. Satan knows what's in Daniel's book. Satan did not want Daniel to have all of this information. Daniel chapter 11 is the information that the angel brought to him in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 11 is what the bad angels in Daniel chapter 10 did not want communicated. Satan knows what's in that content. He influences governments. So why not direct a man to hate Israel, do something that looks like the abomination of desolation, have it happen before Christ ever comes to the earth, and then convince well-meaning Christians to say, the book of Revelation has already taken place in the past. There's nothing in the future for us. It's a deception. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 31 is an event that takes place on the earth at the midpoint of the tribulation period. And it is an event that takes place at the same time as Satan being cast into the earth. Look at the, compare the language. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. He shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. Daniel chapter 11, verse 31. Shall take away the daily sacrifice. Daniel 9, 27. For the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. Daniel chapter 11, verse 31. They shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. It's the same thing. It's identical. And it makes no sense whatsoever to say that Daniel chapter 11 is not talking about the midpoint of the tribulation period. These two remarkable events take place leading up to the committing of the abomination of desolation. Satan in heaven loses a battle, cast into the earth. Antichrist on the earth loses a battle, goes into Jerusalem. Now being possessed by Satan himself, is ready to commit the abomination of desolation. These two events occur at the same time, resulting in the convergence of Satan and the Antichrist on the earth. And that is why the second half of the tribulation period is so dramatic and dynamic. Because now, as Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12 says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Revelation chapter 12, verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman, Israel, which brought forth the man-child, the Messiah. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out his mouth, out of his mouth, water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. There will be believers in the world, just like in World War II. There were people who helped the Jews. There will be people who will help the Israelites in the tribulation period, second half of the tribulation period, to hide from Satan, who will come after them like a flood. Satan is only falling into God's prophetic plan. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 29 says, at the appointed time. And the verse before that, he wanted to attack Israel and take Israel sometime during the first half of the tribulation period when he had that first battle with Egypt. But it wasn't the appointed time. Satan is simply falling into God's prophetic plan. God appointed the time for the abomination of desolation in the 70 weeks prophecy. And that's exactly when it's going to take place. All of this simply demonstrates that no matter how much Satan thinks he is making progress and controlling events, he is simply falling into submission to God's sovereign plan. He cannot win. Christ will win. And we will win with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this information, for the confirmation of events that we can see and the comparing of scriptures. And I pray that you will help us to have even more confidence in your word as we see the pieces of this puzzle come together in the prophetic picture of things to come. As we see how meticulously you have put together these things in Scripture, tucked away this statement and that statement, and allow us to put it together so that we can see the events unfold that will unfold in the future. I pray that we will have an ever-increasing confidence in your word, that in every single word in this book, it is true, it is trustworthy, and it has the potential of changing our lives. May prophecy mold us into more effective witnesses for knowing what is coming. We have the confidence to share with others their desperate need to come to Christ before it is eternally too late. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.